Welcome to our podcast, Deconstruct. My name is Lauren.
And I'm Adam. On this podcast, we want to help start or continue conversations about the beautiful and messy parts of life. Although we both had a conservative upbringing, we've since grown out of a lot of our traditional ways of thinking.
We're learning to deconstruct the religious lenses we once saw the world through, breaking down topics like purity culture, racism, and the patriarchy, while demystifying things like feminism, equality, and love. Stepping away from our evangelical church background, all the while leaning into God and moving forward in our faith.
We'd love to hear your story. You can find us on Instagram at deconstruct.pod. Now, onto the episode.
Everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. Today we have Josh and Adrian. They are former evangelical worship leaders, pastors, church planters who started Dirty Rotten Church Kids podcast as a means to process life on the other side of the evangelical bubble. Equal parts heavy and light, the duo unpack their stories, interview incredible guests, and hear from their listeners, the bad apples, with the hope that it's all gonna be okay. Josh and Adrian, welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
So, okay, the thing that we love about having these conversations on this podcast, on Deconstruct, is not only do we like to deconstruct religious stuff and cultural things, but we just like to hear people's stories. So we're like, okay, let's pick apart how this all happened. And so before we get into more, I guess, the intense questions, if I have any intense questions.
If we get there.
We just want to hear your story. How did you go from church planter pastors to Dirty Rotten Church Kids? What was that journey?
Josh, you want to take it?
Well, it was a long, dark, and stormy night.
We got really slow music.
Lighthouse and fog and everything. It's perfect.
Yeah, if you can edit it in just some John Williams soundtrack as I explain our origin story.
He's going to change his voice. Don't be thrown by my English accent.
No, really, it's funny because I was thinking about this sort of thing today when someone showed me a clip of something that happened last year in 2020. 2020 feels like the longest year ever because I think everything, at least I did, was a part of, was recorded or it was via Zoom or it was FaceTiming my family. So I have all these videos and memories of this. So 2020 seems like a long year. And saying that, I feel like the beginning of DRCK seems so vivid to me because we have talked about it so much and because all our experiences have been recorded on podcasts. It feels like it just happened yesterday, but Adrian and I basically, the long and short of it is that you covered it in the bio, the intro there a little bit, but we, the last kind of big church thing we did, we were church planters and that fell through. We can get into that if we want to, but at the end of it, after Adrian and I were both like, hey, we're out of this for our own individual reasons. We met up, we had planned this hangout at a cigar bar. And this is 3 or 4 months before COVID landed. Funny enough, none of our friends wanted to hang out with us. So it was just Adrian and I at the cigar bar, sitting across from each other, staring longingly into each other's eyes. And I'm like, hey man, I was thinking today, this is random. I was thinking maybe we should start a podcast or find a way to record our experience we're going through because there doesn't seem to be anyone around us who's going through what we're going through. And I have all this audio equipment left over.
Yeah.
Right.
From just that I purchased when I was doing church stuff. And Adrian, he's like, yeah, I was actually thinking the same thing. And then really quickly, I would say 2 or 3 hours of us sitting there, Adrian, I kind of planned out a rough trajectory, most of which we didn't even follow. but it was mainly yeah, it was that's where the impetus was, just us brainstorming and us wanting to have a place for people to turn to. So if and when they have any questions about faith or just want to feel like they're not alone, we can provide that to them with no expectation that it would ever work. Mm. Like we were always like, I think anyone for like in our generation was always told like, you guys are going to be a part of something huge. You're going to be a part of a revolution, yep. Especially if you attended a Passion City bullshit. Like, totally. You're the generation that's going to bring revival.
Absolutely.
And being a part of churches in South Florida, Adrian and I were always, you guys are on the cusp of it. You guys are doing it.
Yeah.
So when we left the church, we're like, wait, we didn't do anything. And so we had the same expectation for DRCK. It would be just something we put together. And then it turned into like a whole other monster. So Adrian, did I miss out on anything?
No, I think you jumped from kind of where we left church into it. I will say like, I think we both and I, Josh and I both have kind of grew up in church, kind of like that was like our whole thing. Like that was really our identity. That was so much of who we were and what we did. Josh and I each respectively led worship when we were like in like junior high.
Yeah.
And that was just kind of, and it's one of those things where it's like you know, like Josh makes this joke that he was like born in a pew. My running joke is that my dad was a pastor, my grandpa was a pastor, my great grandpa was a pastor. Like all of our life, our thing was church. And so when you give what 3 decades kind of your energy and effort and time into a specific kind of system like that, when you eventually leave that system, for us, we left because one, we were totally burnt out because we were church planters for a lot of years and it just burns you out. And also we kind of deconstructed in our own ways. My deconstruction looked a little different than Josh's, but we kind of ended the same way. Like we both kind of left the church because of it. And when that happens, you really don't feel like, cause that is your, it wasn't our only source of income because we worked 2 jobs, yeah. But it was a source of income. It was our source of friends. It was our creative outlet. It was our kind of like stability system, the people that play with your kids and the people that you see multiple times a week. Like it was kind of everything. Some people had like their church friends and their work friends, or they had their church friends and their college friends or whatever. Our church friends and our college friends and our work friends were all the same people.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
So yeah. And so whenever we left, there really was that feeling like we really had nobody to talk to but each other. And we were lucky, right? Because we had each other. So many folks don't even have that privilege. And so conversations that we would have that we've had for months, you know, in like the green room or on Sunday night after an exhausting service, those are conversations that we had just kind of had for so many months. And we're like, why don't we just try kind of saying it in front of mics? Cause you know what the world needs? 2 more cishet guys sharing their bullshit in front of microphones. That's just what the world needs.
That's exactly what I did. Actually. I mean, I do my research and I take pride on the fact that I don't jump into anything too quickly. So I contacted Nielsen Rating and I asked them, what does the podcast market need? It says more, exactly like Adrian said, and it's what they said to me, more cishet guys just talking about life. We need another one of
those.
You
guys should have started a video podcast where you were doing all of this from the inside of a cigar bar. I don't think it could have gotten more perfect.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny you say that because I was at that cigar bar this past weekend just walking past it like, dude, we have to do an episode from inside the cigar bar, but like not ask permission, just set up and see what happens. Oh, that'd be great.
It'd probably be fine. That's interesting.
I mean, anytime I've been inside of a cigar bar, there's so at chill. Least one person that's loudly and boisterously talking about some sort of spiritual revelation they're having.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's usually a reformed guy.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. Well, I love hearing your story. I love, you know, kind of catching up and hearing kind of a background on you guys, because I don't know if you know much about Adam and I's story, but actually was quite similar. Whenever you were talking about it, leaving church, it was more of like leaving a lifestyle in a sense, because the community and all of that. Adam and I were touring musicians and under our band called Love Collide. And yeah, we did that for years and years and years. It was CCM and similar sort of experience. You know, as you were talking, I was like, wow, it's like our story, because eventually, yeah, we almost like started deconstructing even while on the road doing CCM stuff, because it was rough. It was very similar. We were very much those like revival girls that were like trying to be hip and cool, but also like bring
revival.
You're
trying to change the industry from the inside out, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Got it.
So that was like our thing. I say girls, by the way. It was me and my sister, not like me and Adam. But me, Adam, and my sister, we were all in the band. And anyway, so then after shows and stuff in the green room, we'd be talking and it was exhausting. It was like, I would assume, like church planting, because that was kind of our thing, was like bringing this new thing to a church and like waking them up. And I mean, we had a song called, what was it called? Awake? Is that literally it? Yeah. Anyway. And so, yeah. And then whenever we stopped doing CCM, it not only was like the community, but also, yeah, the financial thing too. So it had familial ties, you know, my sister and my mom was involved, and both my parents were involved. And then also financially, that's like, it was my career. It's like how I made money and my identity as an artist. And then also as a Christian, then that was crumbling. So I understand. And we also feel privileged that we had, you know, each other to kind of walk through this, the deconstruction phase and season of our lives together. We're like, yeah, what does the world need us to, literally, I say the same thing. I was like, we just deemed our voices worthy enough to just turn on a microphone and record it. So
I feel like for you guys, it had to have been like your memes in your private chat were just dank enough that you were like, the rest of the world needs to see this.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like, I think the exact wording was, I go, Adrian, I think we talk about enough like relevant stuff with like a firm layer of bullshit I think people would enjoy. And so we've gotten DMs and emails from like pastors. Like, luckily we don't get a lot of hate email or just really mean people coming to us, but whatever we do, and they're like, yeah, not yet, exactly. Not gonna
after this podcast, who knows? Yeah.
But we've got a lot of haters.
No.
We got people like, I don't understand why you're making these memes or why are you posting these episodes. I'm like, okay, what you need to do is go present this podcast to your worship leader and have him look straight in your face and tell you this is exact. He hasn't said this before.
Yeah.
Because all we're saying here, we're just recording what everyone is saying behind the scenes and no one wants to say. For the most part, is like all the jokes we're making, we had to like say it behind closed hands because like, oh no, we love Jesus and whatever, pastor hears us. But it's all the same stuff.
It's funny that the truth is like somehow funny. You're like, wow, yeah, because it's like the truth of what people say. Yeah, like you said, like behind closed doors or like after the sermons or blah, blah, blah. Like a lot of the memes and a lot of the jokes and humor, it's just like really blatant truth. And it's like, that's ironically hilarious and horrible at the same time. And it's so relatable.
Yeah, I think that was like kind of part of the recipe from the beginning. And I say it's a recipe because it's like a recipe you didn't actually think about until after you're like, that was really pretty tasty. What did I throw in that pot?
Yeah.
If I'm looking back at it, I think there is something about a very specific, there is certainly a niche that we fall into. if I tell anyone I have a podcast who hasn't grown up in evangelicalism, it's almost like no point even explaining it to them. Cause I'm like, this, there is such a deep rabbit hole to get to where we are. But for the people that are in it, you can pretty much get as specific and like nuanced as you want because there is enough commonality that someone somewhere is going to relate to what you say. And so I think we started with the podcast and then we created like the Instagram just because you had to have an Instagram handle. And then I always thought memes were kind of funny. And I was like, well, this is an interesting way to kind of have some commentary on things. And then we'll end up like inevitably fleshing it out on a podcast eventually. So those two things kind of happened together. Mm-hmm. And then what happened was like the Instagram handle just like became this whole thing. But it was always like, we are a podcast with a meme page. I think a lot of people are like, oh, I didn't even know you guys had a podcast, which is totally fine. However you want to engage with us is totally fine. But what we found is that people are like, if there's something about all these memes that are consistently striking a chord with you somewhere, then you'll probably be cool with sitting and listening to a 2-hour fucking podcast.
Those podcasts are long.
We just love to hear ourselves speak.
What's funny is that recently I had to go back and kind of try to archive our audio just because I'm so afraid of losing it. And I went back to one of our episodes, Adrian, and one of our episodes, it was just you and I talking, no guests or anything, was only 56 minutes long.
Wow.
I had to listen to it. Like, did I cut out a whole hour and a half of this? I was very impressed with this. We used to be like brief and to the point. I don't know what happened.
And now we're just, totally verbose and all over the place. I think too, is that our format changed a lot. So like when we came in, it really was just kind of like two chums kind of shooting the shit on microphones.
Right.
And then like we started like introducing segments into the show, and then we started having like listener submissions, and we started having like audio clips that we would critique, and like all those things, it doesn't happen all at once. It certainly didn't for us. Yes. It's just one of those things where like, this would be kind of funny if we tried this, and have we tried it? And so it's really just been kind of like an experiment from the get. And we told, Josh said it, and in the beginning we were like, let's just try like 10 episodes and see if we're still having fun. and that's just kind of, we're like, let's try it for a year. And if we have fun, let's do it. Let's not overstretch. So we do two episodes a month. We have 12 guests a year. And so it's kind of like, let's just do what we want to do. No one's going to pay attention to this bullshit anyway. So might as well just do exactly what we want. And I think it certainly has grown, but I think that initial kind of ethos has been helpful to us because there was so little expectation that anything was going to happen. There wasn't any sort of undue pressure, or we didn't have to pretend to be anyone we're not. Like, I think if we had tried to be, if we had tried to be the liturgists or something, it just wouldn't have worked because, first of all, we're not the liturgists. We couldn't do it even if we wanted to.
I would love to see a liturgist meme page. A liturgist meme page would be hilarious. If we could just get in their like private group chat in their texts, that would be great.
You'd need like a thesaurus and like two doctorate degrees.
For sure.
I know. Really, really complex memes. But if you get it, then you get it. So for us, it was just kind of like, we're just going to kind of do exactly what we want to do. And no one's going to listen anyway. And then what happened is people ended up listening to it. So it's kind of like, well, I guess there's no point changing kind of what we're doing. You know, don't change the formula now.
For sure. Well, I mean, and like you said, even with the memes, like you can get super specific and somebody's going to get it. And I feel like that's kind of what you've done with your podcast a little bit more, is like you can go down a rabbit hole for 2.5 hours because somebody's just like passively listening to it because they know exactly what you're talking about the whole time and they're following it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you mentioned like, you know, you are almost like the memes kind of come first, almost like the jokes and the humor come first. Is that, have you found that to be true? Like mostly within even the podcast and the conversations you have, it's like, do you post the humor and then you get into more of the like, okay, now let's like break this down. Like, let's talk about this, whatever. Or is it more like, or is it the other way around where like you're talking about things, you're like, oh my God, this meme is so relatable towards that, you know, that issue or that thing that we're talking about. Does that make sense? Like, which way does it go? Is it like humor first and then like, okay, let's figure this shit out? Or is it the other way around?
I think it's always been kind of like both. And we take on conversations that we have a lot of things to say, but like we don't take ourselves all that seriously. And we fully acknowledge that we're often the dumbest people in every room. So like, there isn't any sort of like, oh, we're going to sit in front of mics and just school the listeners. Cause like, that's not how this works. No. So really it's more of like us just kind of trying to talk through like, what the fuck was that? Yeah. Remember that thing?
Yeah.
And with that, often it ends up becoming light. And then you kind of find yourself wandering into some like, oh shit moments. And so I think it's like, because we've never really taken ourselves all that seriously, it is both, it's heavy in that the whole nature of this shit is heavy, but it's like we never approach it with that heaviness. We kind of just jump in, and then I think if you listen to an episode, it certainly starts light and then I imagine gets a little bit heavier, but it's certainly punctuated by just moments of like just bullshitting and stuff.
Yeah. No, I love that. I feel like, so the last episode that we actually just recorded coming out today, I think we ended on that note. We were like, look, because actually it was an episode all about like afterlife and is there a God? So it was kind of serious. Mm-hmm. But we ended it being like, the thing is, like, this is part of the human experience. Like, asking these questions and like wondering about what's next or what came before or, you know, like the mystery of it all. Like, keep it, I know it's serious, but keep it fun. Like, it's part of it. It's part of this like life human experience of just being like, what the heck? Like, what does happen? Like, why can't, let's just like laugh a little. So that's why I do love your account. And I get people sending, although we follow you, we get followers like sending us your stuff. It's like, it's so very much relatable. And both of you guys have private personal accounts like on Instagram. Was your intention with Dirty Rotten Church Kids to be like anonymous, or what was the intention there?
Josh, we kind of knew we were going to be blacklisted.
Yeah, so at the same conversation at the cigar bar, we need to call it something, Adrian. We need to have like a really epic name for that, because I keep referencing it. Cigar bar meeting sounds lame.
The origin points.
Yeah. But yeah, at that meeting, oh, Adrian, like, if I do this, like, I want to, like, do it. I don't want to belong to anyone. I don't want to represent anyone. And, like, if we do it, I'm prepared to be blacklisted from playing worship ever again, because I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Is that okay with you?
Right.
So when we both agreed and shook hands in a slow motion, really epic way.
We cut our hands in, like, a really weird apple pattern in our palms. It's really
yeah, I get it. And then you spit in your hand, and then you shake hands, and it's like the same.
The waitress at the cigar bar had a lot of questions.
She's like, excuse me, sir, please stop doing this. I have to clean up one.
But yeah, like...
He said we closed 30 minutes ago.
I think, like, some of the things were reactionary or a reaction to... like our church planting and just being in church for so long, for instance, like not taking it too seriously, giving ourselves a hard deadline of 1 year of episodes, like giving ourselves boundaries so we don't burn out.
Totally.
And we like aren't back. We didn't substitute our church work for something else, but also something good that we took. And this is what Adrian's really good at. He's really good at visuals and branding. And so when he said Dirty Rotten Church, 'cause I'm like, oh dude, that's perfect. It rolls off the tongue. And let's put an Instagram account together, because that's what you do when you church plant.
Yep.
You need to have an Instagram presence. You had to have a Facebook thingamajigger. Yep. So I didn't personally put any thought into remaining anonymous. And like so much so that we answered DMs for a long time, just talking to people about stuff. And then we can't do that anymore because we have way too many DMs.
Yeah.
But yeah, it wasn't like a way to cover who we are. I think it just really encapsulates like a side of us.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Totally.
I get that.
And I think too is like you are often, it's so easy that you can be completely defined by a facet of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when we planted our church and it was called the Anchor Church. I know, super, super unique and not hipster at all.
Yeah.
And it was called the Anchor Church. And then people were like, oh my God, you must love anchors. And everyone would, it would be like my birthday, and I would just get a bunch of napkin holders and a bunch of anchor fucking frames. I'm like, I don't like this. I don't like this. It's just the name of the church that I planted. Right. And so I think too is like, if I had like changed my Instagram handle to like Adrian, the church, you know what I'm saying? If I had like really leaned hard and like made it my thing, then it would just be more of what I've been doing for the past 3 decades. So I think this is one of those things where it's like, this has been an outlet for us.
Yeah.
It's been a really helpful way for us to express ourselves, and if it helps people, great, but we're not doing it for anybody else, we're doing it for us. And then we kept it kind of independent from our own stuff, because it's like, I'm not just this,
right?
You know what I'm saying? No one is just this one thing that you see of them. Like, we're all significantly more holistic than that. So I think it's just been nice, because then I have my own Instagram page and I can post like coffee and tattoos and watches and shit, but then I can act, you know what I'm saying? In fact, there are people who will like follow my Instagram and then it's like private, and they'll follow me, and they're like, "Oh wait, no, you're not talking about deconstruction stuff." And they'll immediately unfollow. It's like, okay, sorry to disappoint you, but I'm more than that. And I think that is important to say, because while this might be the thing that people know a lot about us, just as much as I don't want people to go, "Oh, you're just a meme page." No, we're also a podcast. I don't want people to go, "Oh, you're just a deconstruction person." Yeah. I think we're something more than that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, it seems like you guys were able to catch each other's twinkle in your eye, and like you were able to have your own moment of like, oh, we're deconstructing together. But like on that personal level, did you guys had families at the time, I assume? Was there a mutuality with that? Like, did you just deconstruct with your families, or is that like totally separate?
That's
rich.
definitely not. I think we really it wasn't like a hard sell to our respective partners. Like, my wife was totally fine with not going to church. And I think Josh, maybe your wife was kind of the same way, but it wasn't necessarily because she deconstructed herself. I think the biggest thing, what I found with a lot of folks is like, you are, especially if you come from a church plant or any sort of like high demand church model where like a mega church or something, like you are actually expected to expend so much of your time and energy and effort and mental bandwidth that like you don't get a chance to process, right? So oftentimes you just stop because you need a second to breathe. Yeah. And then what happens is when you're actually taking a second to breathe, then you get a second to kind of critically analyze. One would argue that's not an accident, right? Like if people are too busy to really critically analyze, then you get to keep them there longer. Yeah. But I think for us, it was more of like, I'm burnt out. I have not sat next to anyone in my family for a Sunday in the past, what feels like 10 years. And so that's how it all started. And then what happened is that once church attendance and church and making like the show happen wasn't on our thing, you have so much more time to go like, remember that time when we said this? Do we actually believe that? Mm. Like now Alyssa and I will actually talk like, hey, we have Easter coming up and we're going to spend Easter with our in-laws. But like, what are we going to tell our kids about Easter? You know, so, and these are things that we would not have asked this question because we don't have time to ask what we think about Easter. Are you kidding me? We have like a million pastel pink logo banners we had to put up or whatever.
Yeah. The logistics of like being a professional Christian.
Yeah. Like on my side of things, like for a good bit, like I didn't have any relationship with my dad. Because I like what started this podcast, and I'm like, everything I've ever done, he's always supported it. It's like, hey, take a listen to it. I knew he's probably gonna get offended by something. Like, just listen to it. We can talk about it. And lost that because he got super defensive and thought that I was like making a comment about how he raised me rather than my experience within the church. My mom is sort of on the fence about it. Luckily, like my wife wasn't raised in evangelical spaces, and even last night we were having a conversation about a message she heard at a local church about on Palm Sunday yesterday, and the whole message was about guilt and how we need to keep Jesus the center of our lives because we're all guilty. And she's asking like, but how did you grow up in this? Like, I don't know. It was just what I did. It was just everything.
Yeah.
So she's starting to understand like a little bit of what I grew up in. Mm. Sort of the same situation as Adrian, because Adrian and I both have kids. Okay. And my parents are insistent on coming to service here, coming to service there. And I don't mind my children enjoying like the fun aspect of it, but like they went to Palm Sunday service yesterday and my daughter last night said, hey dad, we need to go back to, the church, I think Friday at 9 o'clock. I'm like, okay, why? She's like, well, we're going to finish the rest of the Easter story. I'm like, okay, so what was the Easter story they told you yesterday?
Right.
And she's like, well, they said that Jesus came and died for all our sins. And I go, well, I don't believe like we sin or like, I don't think we need anyone to pay that price for us. And she goes, well, I sin. And my daughter's five.
Aww. Right.
And so now I'm starting to get mad at the church as a whole. Like, okay, I go, okay, Emma, how do you sin? She's like, well, when I get out of my bed in the middle of the night and I come into your room and I wake you up and I don't listen to you. I'm like, no, that's called like making bad decisions.
Yeah.
Like you're not a bad person, Emma. And aww. And I don't think she understands that, but I mean, I'm going to keep saying it to her. This is like the third conversation I've had with her around sin in the afterlife. She's way too inquisitive.
Yeah.
So even talking to my wife about that, I'm like, I'm not comfortable sending my kids in that environment. And I don't want them to have that same guilt and shame that I had.
Totally.
But then, like, how do I approach that with my parents who are like, let's take him to church. We'll take him for the whole day for you. I'm like, oh, my day without my kids. Oh, my God. you can take him wherever you want. Family dynamic is very, very interesting once you start deconstructing and then, like, airing out all your questions.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine that the hardest part would probably be the kids, the grandkids situation, and like what they are allowed to do and what they feel comfortable with. Because, you know, for us, we're going to be spending Easter with my parents who are both conservative Christians. And I mean, Adam was like, are you prepared to go to Easter, like do Easter with your family.
Right. Like we're stepping into penal substitutionary atonement, like straight on the nose. And it's like, okay, well, how do we,
like, are you prepared for that?
Right.
Yeah. And I feel like, maybe a year ago or so, I probably wouldn't have been. I probably would have said I was ready for it, but wasn't. Yeah. I feel like something that has sort of shifted in the past year, even in the past 6 months, is I've kind of stepped away from the identity of Christianity as a whole, like kind of altogether. I just don't label myself as a Christian. I don't go to any church. And I think being able to do that was one of the best things I could do for my relationship with my parents. And that sounds counterintuitive, because that's the last thing that they would ever want for me, is to say, like, I'm not a Christian anymore. But at the same time, it gives me the opportunity to see their religion and their traditions and their ceremonies and their stories as I would any other person's religion that I also did not associate with or agree with or align with or partake in. I'm able to just kind of honor that they have these stories and they have these experiences, and okay, they're going to talk about Jesus raising from the dead and going to heaven. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, just like any other religion's going to have their stories too. I need to honor that. And I want to respect something that means so much to them. But I don't think I could have done that months ago. Whenever I still somehow considered myself Christian, there was still a defense in me. Whenever I still identified. So I'm curious, like, if you guys along the journey have had a moment where you've either totally stepped aside from the Christian labels, or if you're still, you know, kind of considering yourself that, how have you like navigated that, especially with like your family? Do they ask, are you a Christian still or whatever? How has that been for you guys?
I feel like it depends who asked me, and it depends how I'm feeling that day.
Yeah.
I think what's funny is, like, probably my least favorite message we get on any social media platform or any email we get or tweet or whatever is everyone's like, hey, real quick, like, are you guys Christ followers? Like, are you guys Christian or whatever? And it really is. I don't prefer to go by the label Christian, but really it's only because if I were to say that there is something about me that identifies as a Christian, then people would go, okay, well, then you have to prove it.
They would hold it against you.
And there's all this kind of extra expectation now that I'm like, well, I have no interest in that, you know? So it's almost easier to just not kind of identify that way.
Yeah.
That said, I think there are people who I'll interact with who they're not able to kind of hold that or hear that or kind of deal with that. And I value my friendship and my relationship with this person more than I care about my own, like, the nuance of my spirituality being perfectly conveyed. So I will often kind of go, well, you know, I don't really know how I feel about all this stuff, but like, there is something about the Jesus tradition that I still resonate with, or there are parts of me on certain days that I still appreciate that part of my faith tradition. And then I'm okay with just like leaving it that way, because I care more about, I don't know. I really have no, I don't want to like freaking like steamroll someone's entire worldview. Yeah. I don't have the time or energy to do that. So it's like, sometimes you ask me, but they don't really want to know. They kind of just, I don't know. They need to kind of fit you into somewhere in their mind that they can relate to, because oftentimes they're trying to relate to you.
Yeah.
We had a conversation with David Hayward, the Naked Pastor, and he's like, sometimes people ask you for these labels because like they would like to be able to identify with you in some way, and then they at least feel solidarity to you. And that's not necessarily coming from a bad place. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's more like, I want to relate to you on some level. It's the reason why someone goes, if you're like, I don't know, getting your hair cut or something, and someone goes, hey, did you catch the game? Like, they don't necessarily care whether you can, you know, maybe they just want to try and connect with you on some sort of level. So I try and kind of like vary my response based on the context of my relationship with that person and how I'm kind of feeling the question is coming. if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. And I feel like the thing that I personally have been, I guess, responding with lately, in whenever people are asking those sort of questions, or I'm kind of getting the vibe that they're wanting to know, is it was used as negative whenever I was in Christian culture, but now I use it as a positive, and I say I no longer have heart knowledge; it's now head knowledge. I can't unknow what I know. I wouldn't even if I could, because it's, you know, it created the experiences I have and the worldview and the deconstruction and everything. You know, I wouldn't change the past in any way. But in the same sense, like there's things that I can't like unknow. So I will always know, and Christianity will be in a way a home base, just because of the knowledge that I have about it and the experiences I've had within the culture of it. But that doesn't mean like I still need to like necessarily identify as a Christian, because that to me, for me personally, says that I have some sort of heart knowledge still,
right.
And I don't align with that anymore.
Well, and I think a big part of it too is, for the both of us at least, our spirituality has become entirely inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
with that, I wasn't able to sit in Christianity and claim ownership over Christianity, because if I'm claiming ownership about a descriptor of my spirituality, that obligates me to hold strict and rigid guidelines for who's in and who's out.
Right.
And inclusivity and that exclusivity, for me, they just weren't able to go hand in hand anymore. It just was like, I can't hold Christianity and say, you know, I mean, through all of the terrible things that have happened, and, you know, everybody's trying to say, well, they weren't a Christian anyway. And for us, we get that a lot, that like, if you are saying these things, if you believe these things, then you aren't a Christian. And that was hurtful to me. But then to come back around and realize that for me to try to keep claiming Christianity as something that defined me and something that I stood by and that was my spirituality, I would constantly find myself saying that's, for myself, I'd be like, they can't be Christian because they do X, Y, and Z. And I found myself doing the exact same thing to those that had just a different variation of their belief in what the gospel was. And so I guess to make a long story short, I decided to remove myself from the equation of having to qualify somebody else's faith.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that makes so much sense. Josh, how do you feel about the whole thing?
Well, I mean, sort of like taking from what all of you said, like personally, my belief shifts. And before, where I felt I had to have such a strong hold on things, I'm trying to give myself, to use a Christian word, grace, to think through things and disagree and hold things in tension together. That's personally what I'm doing. But based on who I'm talking to, like, I told my wife, I'm no longer going to entertain conversations about politics or spirituality with someone that I know is not gonna like want to listen. Yeah. I will only interject if it's hurting others or if you're misrepresenting others. Because I mean, they're not there to stand up for themselves. So I'll say something, but then I'm gonna be quiet.
Yeah.
And that's mainly how I operate within my immediate family, is like, you can talk about how much you like this and you can talk about all these things. I really don't care. When I do have an issue is when you start talking about LGBTQ people in a harmful way, or start discrediting the Black Lives Matter movement and saying all this other stuff. So I'll say whatever I need to make everyone happy. Cause without paying attention, I will gladly overshare my entire story. Mm-hmm. Not caring, like not that I'm not caring, but not aware of maybe the person wasn't interested in a 20-minute conversation. So if I can see someone's asking me sincerely, like, hey man, so where do you land on this? I'm like, okay, I could either really get into it, or like, how do you want to go about this? Cause I'm fine either way.
Yeah.
Like do you actually really care, or are you just trying to start a conversation?
Yeah. Right.
Because like you said, Adam, like there are certain things that I would say spirituality is a great term to use. My spirituality has grown, like the table's gotten so long and there are so many people
that I include in it. And there's so many causes that I think are now important that I'm super passionate about. But also, I don't think anything is more important than the person I'm talking to immediately in front of me.
Yeah.
And for so long in the church, like Adrian and I'm sure you guys experience it too, is like you were used as a resource. You were seen as an end goal.
Yeah.
I felt it a lot of times I was like looked through, not looked at.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And what's interesting is like we didn't even know what the word deconstruct was when this whole thing started. Mm-hmm. And then we got into this podcast and Instagram and then run into progressive Christians. And like some of them were even as fundamental as fundamentalists. Like, well, now where do you stand on this issue? I'm like, I don't know. I just got here. Like, well, you have to make a decision. Like, I thought you guys were cool with just letting things be. Mm-hmm. What happened? I don't like this either.
Yeah.
So the pendulum swung too hard in the other end. Yeah. And so my personal beliefs kind of vary day by day. I would say weather by weather, but South Florida is constantly hot. but yeah, it's, and then I just don't want to ruffle feathers anymore. I was such a reformed cage sage guy that I felt like it was my duty to go to war with every single conversation I had. And now I don't have the mental bandwidth. Yeah. And there are so many other things that I want to argue about, like temperature to boil your water to get really good coffee at different elevations.
100%.
Way more life impactful.
We can have that conversation.
Let's switch. Okay, let's take a hard left turn.
All right, we're going to go ahead and change the nature of this episode.
Yeah, this is actually deconstructing coffee methods here.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, I think that's so perfect. And too, like, I honestly am grateful that I have like an outlet like the podcast, because if I talk for 2 hours, like fleshing out with Josh all of the things that we've experienced on a given day and all of our frustrations with certain things, then you kind of get it out of your system and you get to be like your truest self and you say it and you don't feel like you're repressing it. You don't feel like you're stifling it, because I'm not trying to kind of disguise my rhetoric. I'm not trying to like pretend that I am someone I'm not. So that's really helpful. And then when like I actually sit down and a family function or whatever, I don't feel like I have anything I need to say. And so I think for nothing else, there is something incredibly valuable about finding an outlet, whether it's like, I don't know, journaling or writing music, or, you know, like there are a million ways that you can kind of express the shit you're going through. But I think if you don't have that, that's where it gets like really fucking rough. And I think for so many folks who had an outlet like worship and maybe like they had like community groups and all these things, and then you go through a faith change, you have like nothing, you have nowhere to put all of these things in your mind. Like, what do I do with all this stuff? Right. And what often happens is like, and you are just trying to heal. Like you're just trying to process. And if the person on the other end of that conversation isn't where you are, sometimes you feel like I can't even interact with you then, because like it's so crucial for me to get this out. Mm. And I think that's completely fair. And sometimes that does have to happen, because sometimes the person you're sitting across from is part of the problem.
Yeah.
But if you are in a scenario where like that person isn't necessarily the problem per se, then sometimes you need to find some other way to kind of get that across. And I'm almost like, if someone asks me, I'm almost like, dude, like I was having we don't even have to have this conversation. I promise. Like,
right.
If you want to talk about literally anything else, we can absolutely do that. It's not going to, because that itch has already been scratched.
Absolutely.
Hey everyone, want to take a quick moment to say thank you for listening. If you like what you're hearing, please share this episode and rate and review the podcast, as it helps others find this online community. Thanks so much. Now back to the episode.
Yeah, I think that's great, being able to kind of encourage other people to find a way to express that and get those thoughts and those feelings out, you know, by way of whatever they choose. Even journaling. I'm like, making
therapy
videos.
Totally.
Yeah, literally, yeah, anything.
Therapy's cool too, but also memes.
Therapy's great.
And memes are therapy and memes. In and of themselves. Well, no, I mean, you had mentioned, or I think maybe Josh had said, like talking about the almost like this post-Christian, ex-evangelical deconstruction, whatever, that world, you know, almost them like wanting to have like an answer as well. So it's like you're getting a lot of this out in podcasts and having these conversations and being able to hash out things. And you know, coming from your experience of church planting and pastoring and all this stuff, and now having a pretty big following on Dirty Rotten Church Kids, whether it's podcast or the Instagram, that in and of itself is a community, a group of people talking about things, and as light as, I mean, a lot of those memes are, it's also serious. You said, you know, the light and the heavy. Is there ever like a time where it feels like, do you ever fall back into almost the fear of, oh gosh, like, well, this isn't, I mean, not to use the word, it's so cringy, woke enough, but like,
yeah.
Do you ever feel like it's, you almost like trap yourself in a post-Christian theme on like mm-hmm. Dirty Rotten Church Kids? It's like you have to,
like, are you creating another church? Basically?
Are you creating another box for you to have to like exist in?
Yeah, I certainly see that. There is like a tension of feeling like, oh, well, like, okay, now there is kind of like a company line. There is, I can see how that could be the case. I think what we have been fortunate with is that like Dirty Rotten Church Kids by nature, I think we were fortunate because the name in and of itself doesn't imply any sort of allegiance to anything.
Right.
You know, sometimes you'll see something and they'll be like, you know, I don't know, like the irreverent Christian podcast or you know, like the heretical Christ follower or whatever.
Right.
Then all of a sudden you are kind of adding some bumper pads to your kind of your content and your perspectives. Yeah. And all we are saying is that we were brought up in Western evangelicalism and a ton of different denominations throughout the course of the past 30 something years. And so when we unpack stuff, it is less about like, we're not trying. And we'll tell people all the time, like, don't listen to anything we're saying because we are not trying to be prescriptive.
Yeah.
We are really just trying to be descriptive mm-hmm. and call out bullshit where we see it.
Yeah.
And it's not even anything personal to a specific dude. Like, I'm not trying to like take down Mark Driscoll or whatever. I think a lot of what he says is bullshit, but it's more of like, let's kind of peel apart the system that we were a part of. And when you do it that way, it is truly like, and people will kind of shit on it. It's like, oh, you're all about what you're against. Like, tell me what you're for.
Mm.
It's like, I hear that, but also sometimes you need to laugh at something so it doesn't torment you.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need to rage against something to take your power back. And sometimes you need to grieve over the loss of something so that you can feel there was closure. Like, there's so many things that we need to do. And if all we're doing is, you know, chopping down kind of like some trees in the way, then that's fine. And we can have some other people come in after us and they can be the ones that can lay some framework or something. Like, I'm fine with not being the person that leaves you with a new religion. I'm totally fine with us just being the assholes who just make fun of something, hang a lampshade and go, that's bullshit. And then the person erases it off the chalkboard. And then somebody else can come in and write something else. And even if that's all we exist for and kind of a person in the spectrum of a person's spiritual experience, I'm kind of fine with that because that's where we sit personally. And we realize that we're not for everybody. So much of what we do is a potluck. Like, we're going to throw a bunch of shit out there and take what you want, leave what you don't want, you know, and that was kind of always the plan. If you can even call it a plan. And we're kind of fine with just being the people that try and clear room on the table. We're fine with not being the people that are necessarily replacing something with something else.
Yeah.
At the beginning of this, I had like friends that I've known reach out to me like, hey man, I saw you part of a podcast. I'm like, yeah, dude, what'd you think? It's like, well, and it was the same line that Adrian said. Well, it seems really negative. I don't hear you guys talking about anything. You should have like someone who has like opposing viewpoints on there. And I texted Adrian that and I kind of left it there. And then I sat on it for a couple of days and I don't know who told me, it was either Adrian or my wife or some friend or something. But it was essentially like, no, it's your thing. You can do what you want.
Yep. Yep.
I'm like, yeah, we can do what we want. And I spent 32 years trying to be the devil's advocate. I don't need to do that anymore. And so there is a, like I said before, like the propensity for the pendulum to swing so far, you're kind of substituting one thing for another thing. And we're very aware of that. But at the same time, like, yeah, we're not trying to start a new religion. Like, we're not like Scientology 2.0. Like,
Dirty Rotten Church.
Yeah. Oh my God. So repetitive. But yeah, it's very like what we record and what we put out and the memes we post and the things we tweet, in the DMs we send, like that's very much just us.
Yeah.
And so if someone's like, well, it sounds like that, I'm like, well, it sounds like me. Like that's just who I am. Mm-hmm. And for so many years, we always had to be careful what we said because we represented this church, or be careful what we said because we represented this ministry, or we're going overseas here, or we're doing this here. There's always some other hidden agenda. And it's really interesting that when you're in the church and you're doing all these things, people have no worries about you, like you using resources or you saying a certain thing a certain way. But the second they're the ones being harmed by it, they're like, oh, not harmed, but like offended by it, I guess is a better word, or triggered by it. Like they're the ones that like now, oh, you said the Bible is it's not true. I'm like, well, it's kind of more in depth. Well, that's wrong. Like, where do you stand on that? I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, yeah. I'm going to cook lunch. Like, yeah. You want to talk about food? But there's the responses I've gotten are very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, because like when they're talking about the actual soullessness of minorities and the queer community, they're not mad about that. They're not mad about when the pastor is downplaying a person's humanness. Like, you don't get mad about that. You get mad when I say that Jesus wasn't crucified because he's a son of God. He got crucified for political reasons.
Right.
But that doesn't affect, like, your neighbor who is, like, a migrated from Mexico. Mm-hmm. But you have no problem when your pastor is spouting that. Or, which was, to me, a huge swing and a miss, I didn't see any local churches around here, save for one. Shout out to Heartway, Danny Prada and Emily Prada. Who addressed any of the shootings that happened this past week.
Right.
No one talked about that. No one talked about the loss of life and how the numbers show that it's not guns who kill people. It's white men with guns who kill people.
Right.
Overwhelmingly a large, but no churches are doing that. So it's like there are actual lives being lost last week, or you could argue with me about a 2,000-year-old book. I don't care about the book. Like there are families or eight families just in that one shooting that happened at the massage parlors, eight families who went to bed with one less person to say goodnight to, and no one cares about that. To me, like if Jesus were here, like he never spent time critiquing sermons. He went into a temple. He made a whip, which is really cool. We don't talk enough about like where's that? Where's the whip making class? Like that'd be way cooler. But yeah, there's so much irony, and once you get outside the bubble and you look at it, I'm like, your guy preached all about love and you guys seem to have none of it.
And
I think too, like we talk about, if people don't like that you talk against something, they're like, well, tell me what you're for. And you go, well, I'm for a complete experience of love for as many breaths as we have to give, and I am for thinking that everything is gonna be okay. And they're like, no, I mean, like, what are you really for? Like, I'm talking about, like, your theology. We're like, well, fuck, okay, I guess you didn't actually want to know what I'm, you know? And so it's not so much not having something that you're for, it's just not having the thing that they accept.
Right. Oh, totally. Totally. And I think you guys do a really good job at what I feel like I'm very much passionate about talking about all this serious stuff and, like, spirituality and faith. But you guys are also really good at reminding people that you're human. And this is a human experience. It's something that like I really enjoy about the work that you guys do, you know, through the podcast and through Instagram and all of that. I just I do really appreciate that. And I feel like it's something that is missing in a lot of these spaces and a lot of the like post evangelical, I guess, kind of spaces, because this stuff, I mean, what you're talking about, it's like the what you really believe in. It's been so simplified now of just like, I just believe like, honestly, we need to reconcile with the shit we've done. And we also just need to love way better. And it's just way too simple for people. It's not like people want a recipe. They want something that they can kind of pick apart and they can debate about. And you're like, there's really nothing to debate when it comes to what I'm for.
Right. Well, I think what people are saying most often when they're asking you to talk, because we get that same thing too. And generally it's from people that we know and that are close to us, is that they're like, well, why don't you talk about something positive? Why don't you talk about what you're for? But they're asking you to do is to build a thing that they can find what the problem is that they have with it so that they can disagree with you a little bit more accurately.
Right.
if all you talk about is the things that you don't like, there's nothing for them to be like, to be able to pick apart and disagree with. And
yeah.
So it's like something Lauren says all the time is the people that have the most problem with you creating a boundary is the people that are there to abuse it. And I think that's a very, very similar space, is that you're creating a safe space for yourself, whether it's through humor, and you're creating a safe space for people to come and laugh and be in your, and be in that bubble of dirty, rotten church kids. And so it's like, you have created that safe space. And so of course you're not going to have somebody with opposing views on your podcast that's going to say terrible things, because opposed to a liberation, opposed to inclusivity, that is the problem that you're trying to escape in the first place. And that is what you guys are trying to do, seemingly, is create a space where people can laugh and just have stupid fun together without it having to be so serious all the time. But you can also be safe and know that you're surrounded by people that value your humanity.
Yeah, like one thing you said, Lauren, is like resolve your stuff. Like there's so many like times where I'll have a reaction to something and I have to stop myself because I'm like, wait, is that my actual response? Or no, that's just what I was told in church. Like the whole thing of picking things apart or being more for things or against things. It's so much like, I don't even have to do that. But that's not me. That's not how Josh would respond. That's just how I was told I needed to be, so the church would look good and the pastor would look good, so on and so forth. But yeah, that's really good. Resolve your shit and love more. That's great. That's a shirt.
Yeah, it is. I like it.
It's a collaboration between Dirty Rotten and Deconstruct. but yeah, I mean, that being said, I think we've probably come up on our hour, but I really appreciate you guys, and I love hearing your stories and getting to know you a little bit better, you know, because the stuff that we see is like hilarious and fun and serious and light and all everything in between, but getting to know somebody's story and hearing their voice and like, you know, having conversation, I feel like it just takes it a step further. And I'm sure that our listeners will thoroughly enjoy following your content. If they don't already, I'd be very shocked if they don't already. But, you know, we'll be sure to plug in all of your information. And do you guys want me to plug in your Patreon? Is that the website you'd like me to put in the bio?
Yeah, that'd be cool. And then we also have like a kind of a generic link tree that's kind of like all of our stuff.
Yeah.
So if they want to listen to all the different places, and we have like a merch store and a Patreon and all those things.
Amazing. Okay.
Also, if you don't like anything we said, if you completely disagree, like the one thing you could do is really just send me all the gushers you can find. I hate food gushers. I
have never liked gushers.
At the sight of them, I break out in hives and get shortness of breath. So if you want to cause me undue stress, send me all the gushers.
I'm violently allergic to Dunkaroos and cash.
I can't look at dollar bills. I can't do it. Send them over.
Amazing. We'll be sure to put that in the show notes for sure.
Perfect.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for being on today. Thank you everyone who are listening. We love you guys. And until next time, bye.